Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
It's a rainy one, guys. Once again, the skies have opened. The atmospheric river has twisted its way over Southern California.
Here we are. Matt loves the rain.
I do. I'm having a great time in it. I think it's really underrated. Unless you live on a hill, then it's very, very overrated. But otherwise, you know, the wildflower is going to be so cool in the spring, you know?
Totally.
They're just going to be beautiful.
Just
have blossomed.
Gorgeous.
What is okay, so today's President's Day. That's why you didn't get us yesterday. Dory remembered that it was a holiday, and we enacted our holiday clause.
Yep. Not to be confused with Santa Claus.
Right. We decided to. It would be best for all of us if we recorded today. Thinking we'd be the most tired yesterday, but I feel like we're the most tired today.
I'm tired, but I think I was more tired yesterday.
Ah. For those wondering why we might be tired, we did that thing that everybody loves, which is we went to Disneyland.
On a holiday weekend.
On a holiday weekend.
When there was a cheer competition.
It was pretty crowded.
It was very crowded.
But I mean, that's, you know, it's always going to be crowded.
That's true.
Was it exceptionally crowded? Yes.
We went with my sister and her family were there. Mm-hmm. So we met up with them. And it is very sweet, like as Henry gets older, to see him interacting with his cousins.
Yes, yes.
Like he was like, I want to sit with them. Like he was just very excited to see them. And they were excited to see him. They had like a very sweet time together.
How long does that last? When are you tired of seeing your cousins?
Hopefully never.
Interesting. Maybe like 16.
I don't think so.
I don't want to hang out with my cousins.
No, he's always going to think his cousins are cool because his cousins are all older.
That is true.
He's the youngest cousin on both sides of the family.
That's like me.
Yep.
So
he's going to be cool like you.
Wow.
Yep.
It wasn't hot.
It was terrifying. Which
is nice. Hang on. I just want to say it was terrifyingly busy when we pulled off the exit. It was backed up pretty bad, and there was a cop out there shunting some of the traffic off to the Pixar. What's it called? What's that gate called? The Pixar Pals, right?
Yes, the Pixar Pals entrance
of the garage.
Of the garage.
Which is like supposed to be the dead entrance of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, this is a nightmare. And there was both lanes. It was so slammed. I was like, this is going to take forever. So really what did it was when I said, oh my God, look at the security line.
It was. Because
you could see the security line to get to the tram. You could see it from the highway or from the street. And I just was like, I gotta make the call. We're heading over to the Toy Story lot, which I have not parked in a long time. But I gotta say, it was probably the best decision I've ever made about Disneyland.
It was great. Probably, I mean, I was like, oh, you saved us half an hour. Matt was like, I saved us 45 minutes.
Easy 45. It was one, you know, the bus was right there. We went through security there at the parking lot.
That was awesome.
Which was like
2 seconds.
Yes.
No line.
And then when the bus drops you off, it spits you out essentially at the entrance to California Adventure, which is where we were going.
And they spit you out in like a separate line.
Yes, because you've already gone through security.
So that was nice.
Yeah. It was great.
It was great. And Henry was excited to be on the bus. He counted how many green and red lights we saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
I told everybody about it when we got back on the bus. Yeah. What happened? I mean, it was just a start of California Adventure. What'd you guys ride? You rode Soarin'. No, you almost rode Soarin'.
We almost rode Soarin'.
Your sister's family rode Soarin'.
Yep.
Henry did not like how long the line was taking and kept asking. I was waiting. I like to wait. In California, the Soarin', there's a some outdoor seating at a restaurant to the right of the entrance, and it's very shady and quiet, and I like to go sit there and chill while the monorail passes overhead. So that's where I was, and everybody else went into Soarin' over the world. If it was Soarin' over California, I would have gone. Mm. And then you guys came out. I thought you guys had ridden the ride.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you didn't.
I mean, you're kind of underplaying what happened.
Well, I wasn't like, there.
I know. He was like basically having a panic attack. Like getting really agitated and kind of hyperventilating and crying, and nothing was calming him down. He was like, I need to see Dita. It turned out that he was, in addition to the line, he was working himself up because he was nervous that the ride was going to go down.
Which is why I didn't love how much we were bringing up the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway going down and being evacuated.
Mm.
I think he's, I mean, it's his nightmare to be stuck anywhere.
Yeah, you know, and we were stuck. Traffic. We were stuck on Runaway Railway the last time we were there.
So he needs that sort of God. When I see people like whenever there's like a video from Florida, it's usually Florida of. I've seen Splash Mountain. I saw a girl. There's a video of a girl who got out of the log because she was having a panic attack. And so she was like standing off to the side of the log, Splash Mountain. And then I've seen some videos of like people in Pirates of the Caribbean, like just because they had been waiting so long, but getting out of the boat and walking through the water to get off the ride,
mm-hmm.
which is like insane.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like you're sitting there for 45 minutes, your kid's freaking out, or mm-hmm. you have to go to the bathroom. Or I mean, it's just like, what do you do? I just mm-hmm. like, it seems like a very nerve-wracking situation if you're thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry was thinking about it. Thusly, his nerves are wrecked.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, other than that, we had a great time. It was good.
Why don't you engage me on this? You seem to, like, really...
Why don't I engage you on
this particular issue? The Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, yesterday when I was talking about it, you dismissed me.
I didn't dismiss you. I'm just like, yeah, like, hand. I don't know. I don't know what else there is to say.
And then...
I don't know what else to say about it.
I think we should have a plan.
Oh, that's what you're asking about. Okay. Yes. I didn't know that was what you were going for. So when you say you're not engaging me, I'm like, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for some sort of like, I mean, other than like we don't go on those water rides, what is our plan?
I don't know because I don't know what.
We got to figure something out.
What would be allowed? You know what I mean?
You just stay in the vehicle until Cass comes and gets you.
That's right. It. But so like, what is the alternative plan there?
Well, we got to figure out ways that we could perhaps, I don't know, entertain him or something. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what I did on Runaway Railway when we got stuck. I told him to start counting the leaves on the tree, and that calmed him down.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So,
I don't know. I mean, it's like, I don't know. That's like one of those things where I'm like, every time I see video of someone getting off a ride like that, I just like, oh my God, I just feel so helpless for them. Mm-hmm. But also like, you got to stay in the fucking vehicle.
Right. So
I want to like, you know, you just can't. Not like you have waiters.
This is my question of like, what do you mean by a plan? Because I don't really see what else one could do.
I mean, well, I just would like, maybe I just need a verbal agreement from you that we don't get out of the boat.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
You thought I would want to get out of the boat?
It would, yeah, you know, the situation, whatever. I mean, just imagine being trapped there with Henry in a panic.
I understand.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
I understand.
So your instinct is going to want to be to get off the
ride. I didn't even get off the Runaway Railway ride with him, okay?
No, of course you didn't. Because it's not surrounded by water.
I know, but like, presumably it's safer to get off a non-water ride.
Look, people, I just think we have some supplies in case of an earthquake, you know? You're
saying you want a ride breakdown go bag.
I want a ride breakdown contingency situation.
Okay, like, why don't you...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, why don't you put that together and then you can be in charge
of it. I don't know what it is. What is it?
I don't know.
Oh my God. I think the answer is he doesn't get to go on rides.
Well, he already doesn't want to go on Pirates of the Caribbean, so it's fine.
I never get to go on that anymore. I haven't been on it in, I don't know, 2 years, something like that. Mm. The last year when we, you know, when we had the pass, I didn't go on it once.
Wow.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
You know, you think you're gonna, you know, you live in Southern California, you're gonna be like Disneyland's your living room, as they say.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Like in New York when the city is your. But you know, you don't get down there as often as you'd like, and you're kind of at the whim of a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old.
Yeah, so, he's 4.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
But otherwise, cheer competition aside, I took a picture of that. There's a couple choke points in Disneyland, essentially at Fantasyland, where it splits left and right to either Tomorrowland/Small World or mm-hmm. to Frontierland, Big Thunder Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people, like the sheer mass of people,
mm-hmm.
it was crazy. Had to be at capacity, right? They had to have no more reservations.
Oh, no, they definitely didn't.
I mean, even for people going day of, right? Like, people buying a day pass.
Yeah, no. No. There were no reservations.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And that time we were there, the last time we were there, it was dead, remember?
Yes, because it was rainy.
Yes, but it was also like... I don't know. We were trying to figure it out, and then we decided that it was people would come at night. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, yeah,
because
it was around Christmas. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, look, it's Disneyland. It's a lovely time, and we had a good time.
Before we take a break, I do just want to mention that there is some sort of grim news that just came out of Alabama.
What?
Where they ruled that frozen embryos are children.
Oh my God.
The Alabama Supreme Court. So that seems.
Backwards situation.
That seems bad for IVF.
You know, everyone seems to forget that if they had their way, that IVF wouldn't exist also. It's crazy.
You mean the like fundamentalists?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean those who would be on the Alabama Supreme Court.
Sure.
Like, I mean, I'm not sure if they're who appointed them, but I'm going to go take a look right now just to double check.
Mm.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts. So just want to, you know, remind everyone to stay vigilant and
vote. Fucking vote.
Mm-hmm. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's some dark stuff. Some real dark stuff.
Good news though. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 old white men and 2 ladies.
Great.
So it's really a hoot.
God. All right. Well, on that note, we're gonna take a short break. We'll be right back.
What a terrible note.
Yep.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout.
All right, we're back.
The Chief Justice is Tom Parker.
Sounds like a
isn't that Elvis's Chief manager, Colonel Tom Parker?
Was that his name?
I believe that was Elvis's manager.
Before we get to your voicemails and emails, I just want to remind everyone that if you don't feel like skipping ads, but you still want to support us, you can join our Patreon at the $10 level. We're now doing ad-free episodes over there, which is a whole lot of fun. That's patreon.com/excellentadventure. You can also email us at DoreenMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com. Call or text us at 413-461-BABY. Our Venmo is at Dory. And yeah, let's hear a voicemail first, Matt.
I'm sorry. I'm still a little like...
About Alabama.
For a loop on this Alabama thing.
Yeah, sorry I just dropped a bomb, but...
You really did.
I know.
All on board, regardless of their location. All unborn children, regardless of their location. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
I don't know.
Geographic? Or does that mean physical space?
It doesn't seem good in any way.
According to the majority decision is in a lawsuit brought forth by a group of IVF patients whose frozen embryos were destroyed in December of 2020 when a patient removed the embryos from a cryogenic storage unit and dropped them on the ground.
What?
This is the fucking case.
That's crazy.
The plaintiffs subsequently filed two lawsuits against the facility, the Center for Reproductive Medicine, alleging that the clinic had violated Alabama's Wrongful Death of a Minor Act, which applies to unborn children. The plaintiffs also alternatively alleged negligence on the part of the clinic and sought compensatory damages, though the claims of negligence were specified to only be pleaded if Alabama courts or the U.S. Supreme Court decided frozen embryos were not children. The defendant's motion to dismiss the lawsuits were granted by a trial court that found that frozen embryos do not fall into the definition of person. The court also ruled the plaintiffs could not proceed with their calls for compensatory damages for the loss of human life and emotional damages, citing longstanding legal standards in Alabama. However, in its decision, the Alabama Supreme Court did not address the question of whether... I suppose that's outside the uterus. Extra uterine children should be treated as human beings, but it did find that the state law did not specify what state an unborn child has to be in. The relevant statutory text is clear. Wrongful Death of a Minor Act applies to, on its face, to all unborn children without limitation. The court's decision stated, the court found that there is no unwritten exception, as the defendants have argued, to the law that applies to, quote, unborn children, quote, who are not physically located in utero, that is, inside the biological uterus, at the time they are killed. It's fucking insane. The definition had also argued that considering frozen embryos as children would result in numerous consequences, including making IVF substantially more expensive and preserving embryos more onerous. While we appreciate the defendant's concerns, these types of policies-focused arguments belong before the legislature, not this court, the ruling said. The ruling is issued by Alabama Supreme Court Justice Jay Mitchell, with 7 of the other 8 justices concurring. Alabama Supreme Court Justice Greg Cook issued the dissenting opinion. I apologize, old white man Greg Cook. Cook argued in his opinion that it is not within the role of the court to expand the reach of a statute and breath life into it by updating or amending it. He argued the law was written in 1872, and it would not have taken into account the status of frozen embryos. And to argue that the law does and would require an explicit amendment to the state legislature. Jeez Louise.
Mm-hmm.
So after reading that, it's like it's a slippery slope we're all on, first of all. Second of all, as traumatic as it was for the families of the you know, who lost their embryos because of an accidental whatever. Although it's unclear how a patient was able to remove them and drop them.
Yeah, that part of the story doesn't make total sense to me.
Yeah, nor does it make sense to me either. I mean, just the... Oh, yeah. The ramifications here are absurd. Mm-hmm. If you live in Alabama, maybe think about when the upcoming elections happen. At the state level, toss a vote a Democrat's way.
Amen.
Just for the sake of the sanity of this particular issue. I mean, I'm not even going to go into other issues, but geez Louise. Now, what else is happening?
Well, we have a voicemail. It should be labeled PCOS.
Sure is. Here we go. Ready? Am I ready? Let's see. That's on. That's on. Let's see if the volume's up. And here we go.
Hello, Matt.
It's not coming out of the right place. Oh, my gosh. Guys, why did I do that like that? Here we go. Try this again.
Matt, Dory, Henry, and Bo. My name is Molly. I live in Michigan. First-time caller, long-time listener. I'm calling regarding the listener who wrote in about anovulatory PCOS and getting her periods back after having a girl. I am actually in that same boat. I went through a long, long IVF drama saga. I won't go into.
That is shocking that someone has called in and gone, I had a girl, and this also happened to me.
Mm.
This is wild.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on out there?
Listen, correlation is not causation.
Go into the details, but I did eventually have a girl in 2018, and she was our only normal embryo, so and we did not want to go through more IVF at the time or after, so we just basically settled on one and done. And so my periods were very all over the place before I had her, and same situation, not your normal PCOS, but more like just polycystic ovaries and ovulation. And then post probably about 12 months after having my daughter, my periods started to regulate. And I've had pretty regular periods ever since. And I thought the same thing. Maybe this is because I'm fertile again. But we had really set our sights on having just one child. So we have not been trying to have another baby. But it has crossed my mind. I wonder what would have happened if we had been trying. I just wanted to let her know that I am in that same situation. I have no idea why. I've never really asked. And again, I don't think doctors are all that interested in knowing. So, or explaining it. But yep, same. I just wanted to let you know. I've experienced it. There's your ANIC data. My stats, I live in southeastern Michigan with one science baby, a husband, a 9-year-old doggy, and 1,100 or so square feet. No hot dogs. We are vegetarian. Sorry, Matt.
Oh, wow. Everybody? All right,
that's it. Hope you guys Jeez. Are doing well. Thanks for the pod. Bye.
One of you is sneaking meat somewhere, I'm telling you. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your child. I don't know. Your dog is definitely sneaking meat.
Our dog is definitely sneaking meat.
Our dog is, you know, he's a real big dog. He's a dog, you know? He's just like... Very dog-like.
Real dog's dog, except yeah. He's not.
Yeah, he doesn't like other dogs, but he acts so much like a dog.
Except when he acts like a cat.
Right, he does act like a cat. He perches a lot.
Yeah. So it's confusing. It's confusing.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
He is. He also, like, it's been raining, and he's really, like, embraced the raincoat.
He's like, always loved his raincoat.
I know, but like it feels, it's just like, it's just cute. Like you put the raincoat on him and he's like, okay, I'm ready to go. And then he
remember when he would like, we'd like walk him in his Christmas pajamas.
Yeah. He always liked clothes.
He likes clothes. Yeah. He's a real clothes happy dog.
But it's just funny because when I walk him in the raincoat, like he's like ready to walk for like 3 miles. Like he will go, yeah. He wants to go on like a long walk. I'm like, it's pouring rainbow.
Yeah, but he's like, I already went to the hassle of putting this on.
So right, exactly.
We should probably.
Yeah. And then then we get inside and he like waits for me to dry him off with a towel. He's like,
yeah,
come on, mom, let's go. There's the towel. Dry me off.
It's really great too. Like when you catch him at the door, he'll let you wipe each paw.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And he also likes to be like rubbed down.
Yep. Anyway.
Oh, Bobo.
That's our dog.
Thank you for this voicemail. Appreciate your sharing anecdata? Your experience. What?
I appreciate your anecdata.
Appreciate your anecdata. Okay. We got this email that I frankly thought was a little aggressive.
Okay.
It's from Anonymous, which first of all, you're going to send us an aggressive email and not even want to put your name on it. Don't love that, but okay. We'll allow it. Hi, Matt and Dory. I was surprised to hear that Matt doesn't like living in California, but that Dory does, so you all live there. I also just want to pause because, like...
Well, in fairness, I was out here first.
Also, it's weird that you say you were surprised because Matt has been talking about this for, like, literally 4 years. Where would Matt like to live? Dory, you didn't seem overly concerned that Matt doesn't want to live in California.
That's so true.
Do She's you heard it before. Think you will try to find a place to live that you both like? Seems like it would be an important part of a partnership. I'm sorry.
That's funny. And also, I don't think it's nearly as aggressive as you made it out to be.
I think it's kind of aggressive.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Huh. Yeah. Where would Matt like to live? It's a beautiful question. And I thank you for asking it because my wife hasn't asked me.
Oh, come on.
Now.
Fuck off.
I think just in general, I think I'd be happy on the East Coast. I think.
Well, that's the rub, isn't it?
Right.
You think.
Of course. Of course that's the rub. But there is a lot, the East Coast has a lot going for it.
Mm-hmm.
The West Coast has some things going for it. I do like that you can golf all year. Right? That's pretty good. I think, Dory, you'd probably find an indoor tennis league. You'd be fine. You could play all year on the East Coast.
Indoor tennis is not the same, and it's like much harder to get courts. But okay, go on.
Oh, that was all I had. Tennis and golf. That was the only two.
Those are the only two things keeping you in California?
No, those are the only two. Those are the only two things that I was like, this is worse.
Oh, I see. Right.
Am I like not totally remembering how cold and snowy it gets? Possibly. You sort of start to romanticize it once you've been away from it for so long. When I lived there, how old was I? 2007. I was 24. I was 23. I hadn't turned 24 yet when I moved out there. So we're creeping up on me living out here just as long as I lived out there. Oh, that's depressing. Wow. Ugh. Anyway, that said, the East Coast would be nice because you'd not only is all into our entire family on the East Coast, but it'd be closer to Disney World. You know, you can do winter golf down there. Closer to my parents. Closer to your parents. So, I don't know. I think I'd like to move to a lake in North Carolina. Right smack in the middle.
What?
Remember, I sold something to somebody and I had to look up their address.
Yes.
Because their address was written in a very strange way. I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at the house and I was like, oh my God, this house is beautiful. And then I looked at the Zillow and it was like on a lake, $1.4 million was the house. And I'm like, that buys you. I mean, if you think of a $1.4 million house out here, then you think of that massive lake house in North Carolina. It's very funny to me. Yeah. Anyway, I've lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
We were talking about how I am a terrible wife because
I'm
keeping you in California against your will. And if I really cared about our partnership, I would honor your desire.
You could say the same thing the other way. If I cared about our partnership, that
person does not care about me. She only cares about you.
I see. Well, I think she only cares about me in this instance because if you're a new listener to the show, you might think that this is something that we haven't discussed as a couple and as a family.
And also, for the record, I am not, like, I also wrestle with this question of, like, should we move back to the East Coast? But we don't have any money right now. Neither of us has a full-time job. Nope. So even if we wanted to move to the East Coast, how would we do that?
That's a great question.
Exactly.
Most people would sell their home and move. However,
we do not own our home because we're fucking idiots. Ugh, this is going to send me spiraling.
We're not idiots. I was really hoping we wouldn't get on this. Honest to God, like before we started recording, I was going to talk to you about it. And I was going to be like, let's not.
But you didn't.
Get into the thing where you get depressed about it.
But you didn't. You didn't bring it up.
I just sort of thought we would skate by. I would talk about Disneyland for the whole front of the show, mm-hmm. and you wouldn't have a chance. I didn't know that this email would be here.
Well, that's because you don't read the email that I send you 2 days in advance.
No, not prior to us recording. No, I
correct.
Don't. That's correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on.
What's important to remember is that we have a Henry.
Yes.
And that cost about a down payment, okay?
It did.
So, yeah, relax. Enjoy your son. Sorry we don't have a fucking...
I do enjoy him.
...housewear in above our heads. I mean,
who's getting angry now? I'm
just trying...
You are.
I'm not angry.
You are.
Well, I suppose, yeah. I'm not getting sad, though. You get sad.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's take a break.
Look at Julie Zsa Zsa Gabor said, you know?
What did Zsa Zsa Gabor say?
I believe she said, don't get mad, get everything. In the First Wives Club? Isn't that her who says it? All right.
Okay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are we back?
We're back.
Wow. Not a lot of talk on the commercial break today.
No.
Sorry, Patreon. You're going to get just a smooth flowing break with no yammering.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Now that that has been cracked open for all, what's next?
Hi, Matt and Dory. This was a text from Jackie. Mm-hmm. The conversation about not having people over was confusing. Have your friends over. People don't care what the space looks like or how big it is. It's an important way to connect with friends. We lived in Seattle for 12 years, very far from family, and it's so helpful to create friendships that are like family.
I agree.
People won't invite you over very many times to their house unless you reciprocate. Start with a play date, invite a family over so the kids can play, and cook them dinner or brunch with mimosas and those cinnamon buns you make. Oh, I wouldn't want to make those cinnamon buns for them, but I appreciate the sentiment. Rainy days happen and you can't do everything in public spaces. It can be relaxing to stay home, just sending some encouragement to embrace it. Especially as Henry gets older, play dates are important. He'll start getting invited to friends' houses and you can't expect it to always be at other people's houses. One last thought. Sure. Don't you have a pool? Have a family over for a swim this summer. Cook hot dogs and report back to the pod how many were eaten. Jackie with three girls in Massachusetts. One is a science baby.
Jackie, thanks for that.
Thank you, Jackie.
I agree with you, Jackie. I think that you're right. I think that, Bo is a real obstacle. I will say that. He's a real obstacle in this whole have friends over randomly thing. But, you know, remember when we first got him and we had a Seder with like 12 people and he was just an angel?
Mm-hmm.
That was the before times.
Mm-hmm. That was before his triggering event.
Before the man came out of our roof.
Yeah. It's like, you know how like schizophrenia, they say that yes, there's a genetic predisposition, but like there usually has to be some sort of like precipitating event. Like,
oh, your parent, that. That's like what people said.
Like a parent dies or like something happens that then like triggers the schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happened with Bo. Like he was predisposed to it. Yeah. And then the man climbing out of the ceiling.
Like, I mean, think about the fact that the guy was in the house with Bo. Going up into the ceiling.
Correct. Yes.
It's fucking bananas to me to even think about now.
But that, ever since that happened.
You're correct. That
he became
correct.
A maniac.
Yes. Wow.
So.
What a time.
What a time. No, Jackie, look, you're right. You're right. I do believe that there is a base level of cleanliness that I feel like the house needs to be at before I feel comfortable having people over.
I mean, maybe she's talking about having the Christmas tree down by now. I don't know.
No comment.
Although I do like that Henry said, why? Our Christmas tree is still up, everybody. And it's still up for a couple of different reasons. One of which was when I was going to take it down originally, I was waiting for a new tree bag to put our fake tree in. And those came a long time ago, but in the interim, I just really like it. It's the only thing that gives me warmth at night is the glow of the Christmas tree. Anyway, it's ridiculous. We should take it down. I agree. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. We have a couple of voicemails on this same topic.
Our Christmas tree?
No. Oh. Having people over to your house.
Gotcha. We'll go with the first one. That doesn't have a two. Here we go.
Chef Fry Russ. It's Monday morning. It's Katie Shinden. Hey, a hangout house. I was just literally talking about this with Bruce last night. Okay, I know you're tired of hearing about how this couple in their late 50s is thinking about the same crap you guys are, but okay.
We're not
so
that far
hangout
off.
House. The dog. When my dog was alive, it was not a hangout house. The dog was not, it was just not conducive, right? My golden retriever, Chili, was just like, a lot like Bo, just very reactive to people, just excited, just couldn't chill out when people were over, right? So not a hangout house. Also, you know, young children, my son has special needs, like, it's just too much. Like, literally, I've never hosted book club, and I go to book club every month, and my friends just know that Katie cannot host book club, it's too much going on at home, thank you very much, but it's just not happening. Okay, so luckily I have friends that do like to host things, and they don't have as crazy of children or animals, so it works. But please don't beat yourself up over not having a flippin' hangout house. Also, when I was a kid, my parents did have a hangout house. They had a lot of dinner parties, a lot of, like, just hanging out of adults, and as a young child, I didn't love it. I was, like, irritated by it and annoyed, so Henry, probably happy that you don't have a hangout house. Okay.
He probably is.
For now, love you guys. Mwah.
You know, my parents kind of had a hangout house a little bit. My parents had some hangs at the house.
Really?
Yeah, there were because the neighborhood gang, which essentially was like everyone on Burnham Road, all the neighbors, like, but like further up. We were pretty far down. We were the furthest down the street, closest to the river, you know. Stuff wouldn't happen as much at our house, but it would. The neighbors would be all my mom's friends. They're still my mom's friends. My mom still has scrapbooking weekends with them in Florida.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. We didn't really have a hangout house, but I did have like they weren't called play dates then, but I did have like friends came over a lot. My friends.
Yeah.
But my parents didn't really have people over. It wasn't a grown up hangout house.
Right. Right. Yeah, but John and Joe, their house was the hangout house, the McDonough's.
I mean, also my parents were home after school, and so if we were like going to someone's house after school, it was usually someone whose parents weren't home.
Rude. Why would you do that?
You know, routines. Routines in the 90s.
So was I. We still respected our elders. All right.
Oh boy. Okay. We're going to just read a couple more of these. Let's see. Oh, you know, we should follow up with Jasmine, who wrote in about her dad's baseball card collection.
Yes, we should.
Okay.
Is that in here?
Yes, it is. Jasmine says, "Thank you for reading my letter, following up with some answers to Matt's questions. One, what kind? Mostly baseball, but some football and basketball. I don't think hockey. If so, very little. I think mostly from junk wax era, but possibly some vintage and some more modern, no later than 2015. Two, how much? About 12 medium to large moving boxes full of mostly cards and some other memorabilia, magazines, newspapers, hats, etc. Some brief investigating on eBay suggests the other stuff is not worth anything. My mom moved near me in 2020, literally across the street, and we have not opened any boxes since then. Three, labeling. Ha, my dad loved to label things, but at the same time was not very organized. We have a mix of unopened boxes, perhaps still in cellophane, binders with cards and sleeves, some cards and protectors. I have a lot of childhood memories of putting cards in plastic sleeves and then hard plastic shells. And then some loose in card boxes, either with no label or labeled as cards. I'm guessing that anything really valuable is in an unopened box or was put into a plastic shell. Four, we have a local card store that does consignments. They are at Cards at the Cages on Instagram. But I feel like I have to know what I have before taking things there so I don't get undersold. But maybe I could start with a small amount and see how it goes. Not sure what their cut is or if it's worth it to not deal with eBay shipping, etc. My goal for this weekend is to have a conversation with my mom about this. I'm anticipating some resistance to moving forward and open one box. There's a hat I know I want. So that seems like a good place to start.
Here's what I'm going to say, Jasmine. as you do this. When you open up that box, take a few pictures of what's in there. Send it to me and I will tell you what's in there that might be worth anything. And also what it might be worth.
That's very nice.
I'm happy to do that. Are you kidding me? If anybody out there has a dad that was... But like, look, you say this no later than 2015. Okay, well that means pre-2015, you know what you got sitting there probably? Some Mike Trout rookies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Justin Verlander. These like, I'm talking like some great Hall of Fame bound players that you might have like Bowman chrome autos of. You don't even know. So, first box you open up, you see the cards, take the pictures. I'm very curious about the unopened boxes. Those can be very valuable. Those can also be mediumly valuable, but they're not, the unopened boxes are not worth nothing, even from the junk wax era.
Good to know.
So that's yeah, thank you. Okay, next card person, who do we have?
We got some suggestions about traffic books for Henry.
Oh yes,
so those are in voicemail form.
Here we go. Book rec one.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. This is Aubrey. I live outside Phoenix. I was calling in response to your latest episode on traffic and roadway books for children. I agree with you. That is a very niche topic. Probably not a lot of those exist. I am actually an urban planner, and I work with some engineering colleagues, and my colleague wrote a children's book called Joey's Road Trip. It's obviously geared towards children and has some elements of urban planning and roadway design. It's actually a really great picture book for kids, and I just wanted to plug that book. It was recently published. You can find it on Amazon. The author's name is Rachel Feck. I can email you the link to it. It's a really great book, and I just wanted to call in. You know, there's not like a lot of urban planner and roadway design chat on this podcast, but I thought I would call in and give my two cents on that. It's a super cute book. I have two little kids, a four-year-old and a one-year-old, and I just ordered it for them, so I'm sure it will be enjoyable. Yeah. Thank you guys for all you do. We love your podcast. My son and I actually had our first Costco hot dog this weekend. Very exciting. We live in about 2,100 square feet, like I said, outside Phoenix. We have three TVs, I think probably in the 65 and like 55-inch range. I don't remember specifically. They're just on with Bluey and others. Things. Anyways, hope you guys have a great day. Just wanted to call in with the book rec. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. You know what? Just your phone call made me think of the other night. Was it Friday night? Friday night, I went to Best Buy for like 10 minutes very quickly because believe it or not, some Best Buy sell baseball cards, newly discovered on my part. But I was walking back to my car in the garage, and there was a guy standing there with a box that had a 75-inch TV in it that he just bought. And I said to him, I said, congratulations. And he looked at me like a proud father and was like, thank you. And I was like, good luck getting that into whatever vehicle you got. He's like, I know. And then I saw his wife or girlfriend pulling up in... I mean, I guess it was like a Honda CRV, and I'm like, oh boy, I didn't stay for the for the madness,
yeah.
But I did think it was weird and funny that like my brain, for some reason, thought to congratulate him because he had a giant TV, and also that he was so pleased that
I was going to say, I feel like he was very receptive.
He was,
which
was
very is late. Very very sweet.
Thank you. It's a big deal when you get a TV in over 70 inches. It's like, wow, You've done something with your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Back to that book, though. That sounds right up Henry's alley, honestly.
It does. I've also gotten some suggestions that I should write this book, and like...
No, you shouldn't.
I don't really want to.
I mean, my dream is to write a successful children's book that gets adapted into something. But I also feel like there's just too many children's books out there.
Yeah. Children's books have also become the like it's not a status.
The passive income for rich celebrities?
It's like a... I don't even know how to describe it. Not like a rite of passage, no pun intended, but like, and not like a status symbol exactly.
It's a jewel in the famous crown.
Yes, exactly. It's like, okay, I've directed a movie. I've, you know, made $1 billion at the box office. Now I shall write my children's book.
Yep.
Anyway.
It is. I'm just like BJ Novak. Why'd you have to write a children's book? Well, why?
I mean, his is like actually kind of good.
I know, but like, why?
But like, Paul McCartney's.
Hey, grand dude.
Hey, grand dude. Henry has made me read it to him. Not that good.
That's how dare you, Sir Paul McCartney? First of all.
I mean, like Reese Witherspoon has a children's book. A lot of actors write children's books.
I mean, I would put write in a very big air quotes.
Oh, sure. That's fair.
A lot of actors have their names on children's books.
Yes. Okay. That's fair. All right. Should we listen to the second voicemail?
Sure.
Okay.
Which one?
The
book two?
Yes.
Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. I was calling because hearing Dory talk about the book that she was looking for Henry related to traffic and traffic lights and sign roads. I was like, I actually have something to contribute to this. My husband is a civil engineer. He's a traffic engineer.
Oh, my God. Another one?
Civil engineer. Like a certain type of it. And one of the things that he does is when a business comes and like wants to put in a gas station or something, then he actually helps evaluate what road improvements are needed and then, you know, basically barters with the county or the city and kind of the developer to kind of broker like what roadway improvements are needed, and then he actually designs them. So he will design a traffic light and like a turn lane and stuff like that. So I didn't have time to like do a thorough looking for like traffic engineering kids books. There probably still aren't any, but I wanted to give you, you know, another search term if that's helpful. But anyways, hope you're doing well. Thanks for your wonderful podcast that I've listened to for so many years. I live in Virginia with one science baby, one science kindergartner, and in about 1,800 square feet. No hot dogs this year, some last year. One large TV.
I hope it's over 70 inches, so I can say congratulations. So that is... I would say the most amount of civil engineers I've ever heard listening to a podcast. It's
two. Well,
two wives. One civil engineer and the wife of a civil engineer.
Right. Sure.
But still, it's tangentially related, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought I'd be pretty good at like putting in turn lanes, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, Henry...
It's my dream.
Henry
puts them in the house every day.
Every day. Yep. And there's signs all over our house.
He's gotten good at drawing arrows.
He has gotten good at drawing arrows.
Like, he used to not really, like, sometimes he'd do, like, an inverted V, or he'd do a V for the arrow rather than you know what I mean?
Yes.
Thank you. He would invert the arrowhead rather than whatever. Point is, he's doing great arrows right now.
Yeah, he's really
He's in his arrow phase.
He's in his arrow era. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody.
I agree. Thank you, everybody. Quick car update. I've got about 12 hours before Dory calls a tow truck. So that's the car update.
Gave him a deadline.
Thank you.
Tuesday. And it's just going to have to go on a credit card.
Do you see it? Do you see it?
Yeah, I see it.
This is what I'm going to use. This is my tool I've designed.
You know, for your sake, because I feel like you've invested so much like physical and mental energy on this, I hope it works.
Yes. Me too. Me too.
Because I feel like you'll be like sad if it doesn't work.
Well, where I'm coming from right now is like, ultimately, what are they going to do? The scenario that I keep hearing is they cut the rim. So like what I'm going to do to the bolt, it doesn't matter. Because if they end up cutting the rim, it's fine. You know what I'm saying?
I do sort of know what you're saying. But, you know, the past couple weeks have confirmed to me once again that we do not need two cars.
Oh, I completely disagree. There's been like 20 times you've been gone and I've wanted to leave the house and haven't been able to.
But to like, to do what?
To like golf or to go to the store or to get something I needed, like packing thing, go to the post office. Like there's been a lot of like things that I've needed to do that the car hasn't been around for. And I've been like, okay, well. So, well, I mean, I guess in that sense, I didn't need the car.
Right. You know, and what I'm hearing is like, you like to have a second car for spontaneity.
Well, ideally, for Christ's sake, I hope I get a job. Unless I get one. Well, I mean, in fairness, I could get one at a studio very close by and, you know, I could just walk.
Yeah. I hope you get a job, too. And then we will be able to justify having two cars.
But until then.
Until then, I kind of feel like we would be fine with one. Maybe I'm crazy.
We were gonna golf at Rancho tomorrow morning, which is you can never golf there. It's always booked, but it's because it's been so rainy. They had a 6:40 a.m. tee time, and I said I couldn't do it because I didn't want Henry to have to walk to school in the rain.
He probably would, though, is the thing.
Well, I didn't want it to have to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear that.
But if we had two cars, I would have been like, yeah, fuck yeah, right. Let's do it.
Well, you know what? Maybe my car will be fixed by then. Hint, hint.
What time is it?
8:20
p.m. Is it crazy to go out there now and start hammering it? I don't know.
When else would you do it?
In the morning. That's why I said I have 12 hours.
Okay. Well, we should thank our patrons.
Oh, of course we should. Thank you to our patrons for supporting the show and contributing to what I would like to call our only source of income, which is podcasting. Thank you all so very much. If you're at the $5 level, you get your name read each month. If you're at the $10 level, you get ad-free episodes as well as a second bonus episode. If you're at the $25 level, you get yourself a fun fact every month. And anybody who signs up for the Patreon at whatever level, that level's back catalog is available to you. So get up there and do it. Thank you to the following people: Catherine Shimmons,
Katie Allen,
K. Katie Regan.
Katie Jordan.
Laura Dodge.
Laura Elliott.
Lauren Schultz.
And Lauren Johnston.
I skipped Lauren Johnston. Lindsay Gish.
Linnea Wynn.
Lisa in West Virginia.
Lisa Travis.
Liz P.
Lynn N.
MK.
Marina Breed.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Melinda Phelps.
Melissa.
Michael Roth.
And Merrill H.
Why do I keep skipping? Michelle Johnson.
Mike Zytek.
Molly.
Mariah Adamick.
Nancy Powell.
Nicola Hill.
Nikki Bossert.
Optide.
Pam from Boston.
Pat Machewski.
Patty Curie.
Paula.
Phoebe Boone.
Robert Hamilton.
Robin K.
Sadie Massa.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah L.
Sarah Lavelle.
Scarlett Kaufman.
Sherry Olson.
Simone Vanderwinkle.
SJV.
Steve Harcourt.
Tanya K.
TB.
The Holterman Clan.
Tracy Jury.
Tyler Pigeon Double Take Matthews.
Oh, Tyler, thanks for being here. You came over from not only James Bonding, but also from TNC. Start taking this conversation.
That's nice.
Valerie Green.
Vanessa Ferguson.
Virginia McFeely.
Whitney Hoffman.
And XX.
Ooh.
Mysterious. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.